Medical Breakthroughs, the research journey. Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Caroline Burden, and you're about to join me on a journey into the fascinating world of medical breakthroughs. But not just any breakthroughs. We're diving into the personal stories, the setbacks, the you will not believe this moments behind the cutting edge research happening right here at Leeds Teaching Hospitals NHS Trust. Coming up in this episode.
I had come so close to losing a kidney. You're going from something that's incredibly deeply invasive to something that's non-invasive, where they weren't actually going to cut into my body at all. It was difficult to process that something has been removed by sound waves. I feel so grateful and so lucky.
That's Michael, who had kidney cancer. And yes, you did hear him correctly. The cancer was removed from his body by sound waves. No scalpels, no stitches, no staples. Just an ultrasound. Now, it does sound like something from science fiction, but I promise you it's not. It is a reality. We're going to hear Michael's full story, but first we're going to speak to Professor Waugh, who can explain this research project. Now, she's a consultant in diagnostic and interventional radiology at Leeds Teaching Hospitals NHS Trust. She is passionate about practicing evidence-based medicine. And since 2004, she's established, developed, and led an internationally recognized clinical and research program in interventional oncology.
Most cancers are removed by open surgery. And in fact, the surgeons themselves have changed the way they practice over the last couple of decades by making it more minimally invasive because they know that this is better for the patient. They recover better, they can resume their daily activity and get better quality of life. In fact, for smaller tumour that being sort of found in the body, they tend to want to approach with a keyhole approach. And then, in fact, more recently, in the last decade, they even developed the robotic approach to remove tumours because they know that when patients have less invasive treatment, they get out of hospital quicker, patients are better, they're happier, and some of the younger patients can go back to work, and it's better overall. It's a really win-win situation. So alongside the surgeon, we are a group of what we call ourselves as interventional radiologists. It's the posh name for a group of doctors trying to also provide innovative, minimally invasive treatments. We are the group of doctors that actually train to put needle into the body cavity, and then we can access tumor from anywhere so long it can be seen on the scan. And then we can put a needle in the tumor and we can use heat, ice or electrical energy to treat tumor minimally invasively. So in the last decade, this particular clinical discipline has now evolved to be known as interventional oncology. And it's considered as one of the four pillars alongside surgery, medical and clinical oncology to provide cancer treatments. And so we have been doing this for over 20 years now. And because we have been very well known, not just locally, nationally, internationally, when this particular technology, which is an ultrasound base that become available, we were asked to take part in the research in liver first, which is this technology is non-invasive. It actually safer than other conventional heat ice technology because it doesn't damage any structure close to the cancer. And it allowed treatment to be delivered without really needing to cut through the skin, not even inserting a tumor. And there's no radiation associated with it. So you can think of it, this treatment is very similar to radiotherapy without the radiation. However, currently the treatment does require patients to have general anesthesia. And that may change in the future, but for now, all the patients still require general anesthesia. Very similar to our procedure, apart from the fact that you don't have to put needle into the tumor. And the interesting thing for us is whenever we offer this treatment to patients, even when it's in a sort of research setting, patients are so keen to take part. Some of them are actually couldn't really get their head around how come they have their treatment for the cancer without actually having a scar. There's no needle scar, nothing. And then because of our experience, we were then subsequently after the liver trial being awarded to do the kidney cancer trial. So we then became the first in the world to actually lead the first trial to treat kidney cancer. So we completed the trial last year in December. So the trial is now closed, but we're still collecting data for follow-up. And then we're hoping to present the data in September. We won a conference in Barcelona and present throughout the world.
And how did you select patients for the trial? How did that process work?
So for all the patients that we usually review all cases in what we call the multidiscipline team meeting in our cancer for the kidney, it'll be kidney cancer MDT. And all the pictures are reviewed. And if the patients are suitable for what we call ablation, which is putting needle in and suitable to treat this with either the ice energy, we will see them in our clinic. That is our standards of clinical care. When they come to clinic, we will assess them and see that whether they are suitable for the trial. So in order to be suitable for the trial written as such, it has to be at least 3 centimeters or less. It cannot be bigger than 3 centimeters. And then we will scan the patient ultrasound to see what they can see, because this technology is an ultrasound technology. The ultrasound is basically the technology we use to scan our pregnant patients to see the baby scan. And that's the kind of technology we use. And then we scan the patient, check that we can see the kidney tumor. If we can see it, because not all the tumor are really well seen in the ultrasound, but we can see, then we can actually potentially offer patient treatment. And then we have to check through various things that the patient has to have a certain level of the kidney function, the kidney be working well, the patient has to have no kidney infection, and then we'll do various blood tests to make sure all the blood tests and parameters are okay, and we'll do another scan before the treatment to make sure that the cancer is still 3 centimeters, not grown bigger. And then the patient has to be suitable for general anesthesia, and they have to be agreed to take part, because ultimately this is a new technology and we don't have long-term follow-up. So we don't know how well the patient is going to do, but that's an interesting thing. All the patients that we approach have said yes, and some of them actually have to be turned away because they're not suitable. They are very, very disappointed, and those that have been offered really happy to be involved in the trial, which is very interesting from my perspective as a clinician, because I have to tell patients, honestly, I don't really know what the long-term result will be, because this is new. We are the global first. We don't really know the long-term outcome, which I cannot promise patients that I know. So that's the part that I find it difficult as a doctor, but I'm actually touched by the fact that our patients are so trusting in us, you know, to do all the right thing for them. And they really wanted to help us to discover science, and they're so keen to help others, which is really amazing.
So what does the actual procedure look like?
For kidney tumor, we need to use a water bath, because the ultrasound normally, when we do a baby scan, we put a jelly on. So we don't put jelly on because we'll need to have a lot of jelly. We use water to transmit the sound wave. So the newer version, the first generation, the water is in direct contact the skin in the liver trial, but in the kidney trial, the second cohort patient actually have this new system that it has actually a special membrane, and with the water bath, is then you have it over the patient where you think that your tumor is going to be. You feel the water bath, and then you scan it with the scanning probe to check where the tumor is. Then you drop the treatment head onto where the position is going to be. And then once you can see where a tumor is, you target it. It's almost like playing games. People are very good at this. You actually just move the target onto your tumor. Target actually on the screen. Once you get a target onto the tumor, and then you check 360 degrees to make sure where that you're actually targeting is totally covered the tumor. And you can then start the treatment. The whole treatments automated. So the treatments involving a very short, high pressure focus like ultrasound bubble that actually precisely treating the tumor, and during treatments automated. So the bubble cloud tends to start at the bottom of the tumor and it circulates outwards, and then it circulates to the top, and then it covers the whole tumor. And once you start, the software and the therapy system will just circulate through to cover a whole of the tumor.
And what's the recovery time like for the patients?
Most of our patients actually go home the next day. So they have a treatment, they recover anesthesia, and then they get discharged the next day. I remember when I did my first liver case, I gone to the ward. I said to a patient, please, can I have a look at your wound? And then she looked at me, she said, but there are no wound though, you know. So, you don't even see anything apart from we draw a window for the where we can put a water bath, you know. There are no wound whatsoever. And so when they do go home, some patients say they don't get much sympathy at all because, you know, somebody says that, have you really done anything to me? And in fact, what my research was telling me yesterday, she said, one of the things that we're just trying to maybe understand better, because some patients still can't quite process how can they have their tumor treated without actually having any cuts. You can't even prove it to other people you're something done, yeah, because you see nothing at all externally. And I suppose you can feel like a fraud, you know, people may not believe that.
Well, it must be so strange because obviously you could never see your tumor in the first place. And then you also can't see when it's been treated. That must be a really strange mental positioning to get yourself into, to understand that and comprehend it.
Totally. But that's why I think there are a couple of patients that my research will say maybe this area we have to understand or research better is some patients actually find really difficult process. You know, the whole situation, it felt so surreal that it's almost not real. Like we're entering this Star Wars era, you know. I never thought that the day I go to medical school and one day I'll be doing what I'm doing. Even the putting needle in and being able to treat tumor is already quite it's very amazing already. It's like, you know, it will really transform the way we deliver cancer care. So the fact that we don't even have to have needle going in. We're actually doing, you know, it's non-invasive. It's almost like it is a scalpelless. It's the knifeless surgery. We are in the knifeless surgery era. And it's really exciting. I feel really privileged to have the opportunity to be part of this research and, you know, to be able to look after my patients using this innovative technology that I never thought one day during my career I would be able to see this happening.
It really is mind-blowing when you hear about it in theory. But as we said, this isn't just a theory, this is a reality. So it's time to properly meet Michael. He was diagnosed with kidney cancer and initially told his only option was to have his kidney removed. So there he was, in his gown, nil by mouth, ready to go down to the operating theatre, when he was told he did actually have some other options, one of which turned out to be becoming a patient of Professor Waz.
I'd come so close to losing a kidney. You're going from something that's incredibly deeply invasive to something that's non-invasive. It was difficult to process how close I had come to how far away I was going from it, whether I weren't actually going to cut into my body at all. It almost felt like divine intervention. It does affect all parts of your mind. You feel so blessed and lucky, really. I've used that term a lot over the last few months, like how lucky I've been in that not only moving away from losing the kidney, but that the size of my tumour fell within the parameters of the sizes which were acceptable for the therapy. The parameters of size are quite specific, and I fell right in between those parameters. So I felt so lucky about it. So blessed with it, really. On the day itself, I can't explain this, actually. I was so relaxed. It may sound bizarre to go before that kind of experimental trial therapy, but I did actually feel very, very relaxed. The whole atmosphere of it felt right. And I actually took myself to the hospital. I walked all the way through the hospital. I walked down to the surgery itself, into the pre-operating area, sat onto the trolley myself. I felt totally confident and relaxed in it, really. Under anaesthetic for just short of 4 hours, and then came round. It's all been completed. And the next thing, I'm being wheeled back to the ward, and that's it. Yeah. At that point, I was told that they were confident that they got rid of the tumour. The next morning, I went down to have another MRI scan. And that MRI scan showed them that there were no signs of the tumour. It's gone. It's a miraculous thing, really. It's so far in advance. I spoke to people since and told them about the procedure, and they find it hard to digest, same as I did when I first read about it, when I first diagnosed it with just SOR. I think the biggest discomfort I had after the process was getting my kidneys moving again, passing fluids through, because regardless of which way you look at it, these sound waves have blasted it into your kidney. And so there's an ablation of the site, which on mine was quite large. And so at that point, then the kidney's trying to heal itself and pass all the ablated material through your system. And so that was the most discomfort that I had, really. But apart from that, you know, considering how much, if I'd have had my kidney removed, how much time I would have been out of action, shall we say. Yeah, could have been, but I was told it would have been weeks, maybe months, before I could go back to living a normal lifestyle again. As with, I had this process, I went in for the process at midday on the Thursday and came home on the Saturday afternoon. Sunday morning, I was out walking the dog. Within 2 weeks, I was back inside the gym doing mild stuff, mild training. I'm not convinced I've fully processed it yet. Each time I go for an MRI scan and they say, well, there's nothing there. It's difficult to process, actually. Even though I've got 100% faith in Professor Waugh and the process itself and the team, it is very difficult to process that something has been removed by sound waves. I feel so grateful and so lucky that I've gone through this process and I've been accepted into it. And at this point, it seems to have been 100% success around kidney tumours and kidney cancers. And I said, well, if this happened to be found by through screening or whichever, what would have happened? I asked them, I said, what would happen? And they said, well, this is one of the most dangerous things about kidney cancer, is that you don't actually feel anything. You don't feel any pain. You don't get pain through kidney tumours. It's when it grows to a certain size, you either feel the lump or, because it moves somewhere else, the cancer moves somewhere else, and then that's where you know that it's there, but by that time it's too late. I probably wouldn't have even realised for maybe 4 years that I actually had it, and that by that time it would have been too late. And the fact that I had this process, and from accepting to go under the trial, I was in hospital within 2 weeks, and then within hours, this tumour's gone. It's miraculous. It's a bit of science, but it's miraculous. I feel so, so grateful. I can't underestimate Professor Waugh's team. I can't understate it. This is a level changer. Professor Waugh and her team just seem to be like it's a different level to anything else. I've never experienced anything like this within the NHS. When people say the NHS is in trouble and this, that, and other, I haven't seen that at all, to be honest. You know, the team that she has under her are so, so good, so efficient, so professional. They seem to be on a different level to anything else that I've ever experienced within the NHS. She's changed my outlook on the NHS, definitely. If this is the way forward, then we're in a good place. And I think that if this is the future for treating tumours, then this is a big, big leap forward.
And you can find out more about the treatments in our show notes. Coming up on our next episode,
It's Susan's experience of not knowing she had a cancer, finding it early, finding two in fact, taking them out, and then she is over 5 years now since operation. We would class that as a cure. That is exactly why we do the screening programme.
The day I came out of hospital, my grandson was born. I've seen him get to nearly 6 year old now and another little grandson, so maybe wouldn't have seen the second one.
And that there is the bottom line of these research projects. They really are saving lives. You can find out more from consultant respiratory physician Professor Matt Callister, as well as our lead nurse for research and innovation, Suzanne Rogerson, in our next episode alongside patient Susan. Medical Breakthroughs, The Research Journey is an Under the Mast audio production.